better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So what we decided to do is we're going to look at all the great first and second round games only that Arkansas was part of.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. Reed's the perfect guest for that because Arkansas's second round game in 1981 was against Louisville. It's the famous half-court shot to win the game down in Texas. Yeah, that ugly, nasty Longhorn that's on the floor. But that was against Louisville. I think a lot of people presume that was against Texas. No, it was the NCAA tournament in Austin for the early rounds, and U.S. Reed hit one of the most famous shots. It's not as famous as Scotty, but it's probably the second most famous shot in Arkansas basketball history.
Yeah, no, it is. And it was absolutely incredible what he was able to do in the shot where it pans from Brian Gumbel to Marv Albert. Well, let's just go and play it.
High running down. Arkansas having trouble getting out. U.S. Reed with the play. It's in!
That's just so great. Man, that is so great. Again, U.S. Reed set to join us at 8 o'clock today, so we will have that interview for you separately, and we'll have it in the podcast as well.
I wonder if the Jenkins, look on YouTube or somewhere, see if the Paul Ills call of that is out there. You know, that was a different day and time in broadcasting because you had Marv Albert and Bryant Gumbel on that.
Yeah, so Bryant Gumbel was back in studio.
Right.
He panned it to Albert. I don't know who his color guy was because Albert got the majority of the call.
And someone correct me if I'm wrong, but Paul Ills had the call on U.S. Reed. I believe his color man for that game was Mike Nail. It's just they did things different back then. I'm about 99% certain I'm right on that.
Yeah, I'm going to
correct me.
I don't know. And I've it's always more fun to listen to the Arkansas version of the call.
I think we can probably dig up the Paul Ills call.
But, I mean, that's just hard to find.
I bet a lot of people didn't know Marv Albert did that game.
Yeah. Did you find it, Jenkins? Is that it?
Yep, that's Paul.
Is that Paul Ills?
Pull that off.
Okay. Yeah. You could just type it on YouTube, Tommy. We could pull it up real quick. But it's cool to see and hear calls like that, regardless if it's national, regardless of if it's your own guys, like a Paul Ills, a Chuck Barrett, a Mike Nail, and so ever. I mean, I know that, like, Jim Nance's call for Arkansas winning the national championship in 94 was cool, but hearing Mike Nail call it was that much better. It's an extra level of umph that you enjoy. So if you have a first or second round memory, that's really our halftime poll question. What is the one that stands out to you? I know that there's a number, and Hogstats really appreciate the work he does on a daily basis when it comes to Arkansas basketball. He has compiled the list of all the different games that Arkansas has played in the postseason. There's a bunch of first and second round games, good and bad memories. Arkansas has been a number of close games, but I guess we can go and play this call.
Paul?
Here's Paul Ills on the call of U.S. Reed's shot against Louisville in the second round in 1981.
Don't want to give Arkansas any kind of good shot at it. They're going to let Arkansas inbound the ball.
Reed now 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Reed trying to dribble, 2 seconds, 1 second. Long shot, got it! Got it!
Holy crap.
I don't know what he said there.
I can't believe it. It is incredible.
I can't believe it. We heard that in several other big calls.
Yeah. I mean, that was just unbelievable how that happened and everything. It's really cool. And again, that's one of the best moments in Razorback, not only basketball history, but sports history as well. And what was really cool is this past February is when U.S. Reed finally got the ball back. That was spectacular that it was held from him for 38 years. 38 years. and then he finally gets back the ball. And I'm forgetting the male cheerleader that, what's the lawn stick thing?
Megaphone?
Megaphone or whatever. He just put it in his megaphone, and I'm forgetting the name of the guy that took it.
Well,
I think it's
we'll
Scott
have tell
something.
That story.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So he talked about that in February, and we'll definitely touch on that with him as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Michael is in Little Rock. Michael, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, Ty and Tommy. I love Paul Hills. I mean, I was a little kid when he called games, especially for Razor football. So that's great. Everyone loves Paul. Anyway, my question that I have for you guys was, I know since we're, you know, dealing with the coronavirus right now and everything, you know, if you had to fill in some time, you know, maybe there's people that are just starting college, people in high school, people in middle school, that maybe are listening right now to radio broadcast, trying to figure out how to do it, you know. And maybe, you know, when you have some time, you might want to, this suggestion, you know, describe about becoming a broadcaster. Because I know you've been, like, one of the youngest to do it, and I know I knew you, we were in Little Rock, Little Rock Christian. And Tommy helps, like, a lot of people. I've heard about that. This is a suggestion. But, yeah, because there's so much time right now, you know, a lot of people, we don't really know what to do because there's no sports, and we just fill in the time. But that was just a suggestion.
Hey, there's no bad there's no bad suggestions right now, Michael.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. So I would say that my path and the way I got here is the way you aren't supposed to get here. Don't get arrested your first week of college. I'd probably say that's a thing that you want to avoid if possible. I have a lot of things that I do wrong in the broadcasting world. I know that my sports journalism professor, some things I go about. I think what I was taught by a number of different people, and I would say the two biggest things that I've learned in this industry since working are from two guys. That's Chad, and outside of this particular work environment. It's from Chad Withrow, who works for 105 The Zone in Nashville. It's from Matt Moscona, who works for 104.5 Baton Rouge. The first thing Moscona told me, or one of the biggest things that I learned when I was calling people my senior year of college and just trying to get advice from different radio people, he's like, you have to work for good management. That is the highest thing that you need to do. That is the biggest priority. I have a good manager here in Tommy Kraft. That's number one. Number two would be from Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone. He said, you got to be yourself. Withrow is a Tennessee guy, big Volunteers fan. There's people that hate him in Nashville because of how much of a Volunteers fan he is. But he's himself, and there's
instead
people
of being
love
a Commodores
him.
Fan?
Yeah, or just because like he's accused of being
honest.
A homer.
Commodores versus the Volunteers in that state, that's like A-State versus Arkansas over there. I mean, that whole state is a Volunteer state.
Yeah, so that's I guess, and we'll talk about it more, but I would say there's a bunch more people that you would rather listen to in terms of advice when it comes to this industry.
You've done pretty good for yourself for the first handful of years of your career.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky.
I mean, look
good
at you now. You're here with me and Jenkins.
Yeah.
I mean,
life can get much better.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want?
877-377-6963. Best first and sound, first and second matchups of Arkansas coming up.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk.
I made a pizza with pork rinds and sour cream.
You're listening to The Morning Rush.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
Every player matters, and finding the right person can make all the difference. For Murray State, that was Ja Morant. In his sophomore season, Morant led the Racers to a 28-5 record and a trip to the NCAA tournament. In the first round, Morant had a triple-double in Murray State's upset win over Marquette. He finished the season as the first NCAA player to average at least 20 points and 10 assists per game in a single season.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Bracket busters, Cinderellas, underdogs on top. With the right talent in the right place at the right time, crazy things can happen. And it's no different for your business. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
March Madness is back, and at Breen RV, that means great basketball games and great camping weather. Make a slam dunk by getting a free satellite system with every new RV purchase. As always, we will have new travel trailers starting at just $99 a month, new fifth wheels starting under $300 a month, and the best selection of motorhomes in the area. We need your trades, so we'll give you top dollar for them, or we'll sell them on consignment for you. So make a fast break to Breen RV on Alma Highway in Van Buren, or visit us on the web at BreenRV.com. Breen RV, where adventures begin.
Attention, Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative members. Do you need a better internet provider? One who treats you like a member and not a number? Then check out our new fiber internet services from Wave Rural Connect. We are bringing state-of-the-art, high-speed fiber, internet, TV, and phone services right into your home. If you are an Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative member, go to WaveRuralConnect.com to sign up. That's WaveRuralConnect.com or call 1-833-4WAVE-RC. Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative and Wave Rural Connect, changing the communities we serve.
This is Mark Hurst. How important is your smile? I recently read a study that said 61% of adults are attracted to someone by their smile alone. Another said that 48% of adults have untagged themselves from a photo on Facebook because of their smile. At Hurst Family Dental Care, we want you to be proud of your smile. Give us a call at 474-1972 and let us talk to you about improving your smile with cosmetic dentistry options ranging from in-office bleaching to braces to porcelain crowns and veneers. Hurst Family Dental Care, a name you know and a name you can trust.
Have you downloaded the new Buffalo Wild Wings app? Points, rewards, games, online ordering? It's all there in one app. Buffalo Wild Wings now has new 14-hour hickory smoked brisket. Try it on tots, tacos, a burger, or a sandwich. And now you can deliver B-Dub's faves to your front door with DoorDash with no delivery fees. That's right, you can deliver B-Dub's faves to your front door with DoorDash with no delivery fees. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Sometimes we all need a break, and this spring, you can get a $70 reward card or virtual account after submission when you buy four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires. Plus, you can enter for the chance to win a trip for two to New York City for a spring breakaway. Visit Southern Tire Mart just off I-540 at Exit 14 in Fort Smith today for quality Michelin and BF Goodrich tires and best-in-class service. Get where you need to be with Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Southern Tire Mart. See MichelinMan.com/promotion for complete details. Offer expires 4/6/20, void where prohibited.
Have you been looking for your next place to call home and just haven't found the right one? Then it's time to check out the properties at Trinity Multifamily. With a variety of apartments, duplexes, townhomes, and houses, there is surely one to fit your needs. Whether it's in the River Valley, Northwest Arkansas, or Central Arkansas that you are looking at, they have you covered. Give them a call today. Trinity Multifamily, 479-452-1817. That's 479-452-1817. Or online at trinitymultifamily.com to search rental properties near you.
New Bud Light Seltzer, huh?
Yep.
And it tastes like a hard seltzer, not a beer?
Yep.
So it's light and refreshing?
Yep.
With a hint of fruit flavor?
Yep.
And 100 calories?
Yep.
You said this is Bud Light Seltzer?
Yep.
Well, I need to try it.
Yep.
Oh, that tastes great.
Yep.
Now, wait, are you just yepping me?
Nope.
Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer. IRC Beers, beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Tri-Hill Turf offers the highest quality turf and pest services. Hey, you say those are big words. Well, let's see. Tri-Hill Turf and Pest has a company agronomist, state and nationally certified technicians, free soil testing, and they even have precision GPS guided application equipment. Now that's high tech. For over 30 years, Tri-Hill Turf and Pest has used the latest application technology, and they strive for turf and pest excellence. They are your local turf and pest experts. Call the local team at 782-0404. Tri-Hill Turf and Pest.
ESPN 95.3. The Morning Rush with Ty Richardson and Tommy Kraft.
Time running down. Arkansas having trouble getting out. US 3 with the play. It's in! It's in! US 3! Let's see. Do they say it counts? It's all over. Arkansas has defeated Florida. US 3!
Streaming live at hitthatline.com.
It is a carryout, takeout, to-go Friday, whatever you want to call it. Jimmy Kirkland from Harrison wanted to appreciate Kirkland's Deli here, so appreciate him sending that in. Again, if you have a place you're going to eat today or that you're going, you've eaten sometime this week, be sure to give them a shout out, take a picture, tag us on Facebook or Twitter at Hit That Line AR. We're brought to you by World of Wireless this morning.
Yeah, 877-305-DISH. You talk about essentials. That's television right now and internet. And they do both at World of Wireless. 877-305-3474. You can still sign up. They can still come out and do the installation for you. You need to call WOW now, 877-305-DISH. Two-year price guarantee. They will get it installed for you with local crews. Everybody's safe. You can also get whole home DVR, HD in every room, $100 Visa gift card, and again, a two-year price guarantee. No, now is not the time to be without quality television service in your home. Also, internet. If you live in a rural area, you don't have high-speed internet, the kids are at home, they're going to be home at least through mid-April, you want them to be able to watch YouTube, play games, do the things they can to get through this few weeks. World of Wireless has their own internet service, plus they also offer all the national internet services as well. 877-305-3474 for details on that, or go to wowfastinternet.com and find out if you live in the coverage area. That's wowfastinternet.com for World of Wireless.
Before we get into some quick-hitting headlines, let's go to the phone lines where Stanley in Glenwood is waiting. Stanley, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, good morning, Ty. I've been playing basketball and watching basketball, and one of the craziest things I've ever seen happened to my son when he was playing basketball, and I believe this was right around 92 or 93. And he played at Cata Hills, and we had to go to Horatio, and he was in junior high. So they come out there to warm up, and we're warming up, and Horatio comes out there, and they've only got like four players. And the coach comes over to our coach and says, we want to go ahead and play if it's okay. And our coach says, sure, we weren't very good that year. But anyway, it got down to the fourth quarter, and they had three players on the court. And it was a close game. It was like a two-point game. And come to find out, it goes into overtime. And that third player fouls out. So Horatio's got two players against our five. And you're not going to believe this, but it goes into double overtime.
I knew that had to be coming.
And then, finally, that one of their players fouled out. And, of course, you can't throw the ball into yourself, so we won. My son got back in the car, and he was so happy we won that game. And I turned around and looked at him. I said, son, you beat one player. it was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life. I've
never even heard anything as wild as that. Yeah, I mean, how would you feel if you lost to a team that didn't even have five players?
Yeah, and it was a close game. It really was. Oh, me, it was something. But anyway, I enjoy your show.
Hey, thanks, Stanley.
Thanks, Stanley.
Appreciate that. I've never heard of that. So we've had to play, when I was playing intramurals, we had our goalie sleep through his alarm, and then we had a guy that strained his MCL during the game. So we were playing two down, and I remember how difficult that was. We ended up losing in the last, like, 5 minutes of the game. But, I couldn't imagine playing two-on-five basketball.
Again, I've watched probably as many high school games as anybody in my time. And I've never even seen, I've heard of things like that. I've heard of stories similar to Stanley's. I've never seen anything like that.
Who was the team? Was it last year, the year before? Was it Ole Miss or someone? It was in college basketball. They went, it was either Alabama or Ole Miss. They played 3-on-5 in one of the early season preseason tournaments.
I remember that.
Who was that? Oh, man, I know what you're talking about.
If you know the answer, text it to us. 877-377.
Oh, that's going to drive me up a wall.
Yes,
and the game was
right.
And the game was close, too.
Yeah, Alabama almost. I just know it was. Yeah, it was Alabama. Alabama versus Minnesota.
Okay.
It was 3-on-5.
Yeah,
like a preseason NIT or something?
Something like that.
Save it, not let them play or something.
Yeah, like Patino. I remember, yeah, I do remember that game.
I'm glad. Hey,
Richard, not Rick.
That's good recall there, yeah. Jenkins.
Again, our main topic of the show, and we're going to really be helped out with this when Clay Henry joins us at 7 o'clock, is your favorite first or second round memory of the Arkansas Razorbacks basketball team. Now, this could even be a loss. I know a lot of you really enjoyed watching the 92 game against Memphis State where Anthony Penny Hardaway was on that team. They ended up beating Memphis State in Bud Walton later that year when they're the number 8 team in the country. That's definitely one. But that is our topic. Some quick hitting headlines to go over. This is from John Rothstein. The NCAA may hold off on immediately addressing the topic of name, image, and likeness for student athletes due to the circumstances caused by the coronavirus. I really, Tommy, in sports talk radio and anything right now, I don't think I've heard that topic come up in quite some time with everything going on right now.
When Greg Sankey was meeting or being interviewed by Dari Noke and the crew on SEC Now at SEC Tournament, when he was talking to Carl Ravitch, when some of those interviews he was doing in the, I mean, the immediate outset, this may have been in the press conference. He did so many, we listened to them all. He talked about, if you remember, when we were meeting with the ADs, we had first talked about coronavirus and we had moved on it because the news was at a point we were going to continue to play.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he mentioned, we moved on to other issues like name, image, likeness. And we were discussing these other topics. And as people checked their phones and as the news of the day changed, it had to come back to making a decision about the future of the event there in Nashville in the tournament. So obviously this is something that was on their agenda to, as commissioner and ADs were meeting together to discuss a plan, a future, a conference position that they were in unity on. And I'm sure that is so far back burner. It's not even on the back burner. It's not even on the stove. It's back in the fridge right now.
Mm-hmm. Got a text here, Tommy, from Brandon in, I think, Brandon from Paris. He said, you guys are a sports talk show right now, and it must be challenging to do that, but you guys are doing an excellent job speaking on the things that are important in life. That's why your show is the best. Brandon Paris, we really appreciate that. We're going to continue to be here with you on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. And remember, Tommy brought this up earlier. Some of your schedules have been changed. Some of you are now working from home. We can still talk to you. Hitthatline.com, listen live. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. If you want to watch our video stream, if you really don't want to get any work done. TuneIn app, you can listen to us there. Also, if you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. So your routine might change a little bit. Obviously, you're working from home and stuff. But if you still want to listen to The Morning Rush,
yep,
on non-terrestrial radio, if you're just in the house, if you don't have a radio,
phone,
in your
tablet,
house,
whatever.
Whatever.
Computer.
You can listen to us there. That's going to be, I mean, our online listenership has gone through the roof since in the last couple months and stuff. And I've added a bunch of different elements that makes us more accessible when it comes to that. And also our podcast. If you don't get a chance to listen to the show during the morning or whatever, because you're grinding and stuff, I understand that. Our podcast is literally on every place possible. SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts, I've put it on that platform. So you can listen to it there. Again, there's a bunch of different ways you can listen to us, a variety of different ways. So make sure you're doing that, because we're going to keep up the conversation going. We're still going to have a lot to talk about when it comes to Arkansas sports, the national world, what's happening right now. So we'll have that. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Another quick hitting headline I want to get to. Loyola Marymount grad transfer Matias Markison, who is 7'3", is apparently getting looked at by Arkansas. He's actually immediately eligible. He redshirted last year because his mom passed away. In the 2018-2019 season, he averaged 10 points, shot 58%, and got 6 boards and blocked 29 shots. So that's a guy. It'd be pretty interesting to see him and Connor Vanover on the floor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this guy's a 3-point shooter, but to have 2 7-3 guys, I think that you'd have to. I think Musk would probably have to go away from his non-zone approach if these guys ended up on the floor together at some point and did that. But it goes back to the idea that the roster, I think, and Clay's talked about it, Tommy's talked about it, I've talked about it. I would be very surprised when their first game is this season if you see the roster the exact same way it is with the 4 incoming freshmen. I think a couple guys, something's going to change. We'll see what happens, but something is probably going to change.
You know, and I know we're going to get to some of Eric Musselman's comments from yesterday's teleconference later in the show, but he talked about watching NBA film and trying to figure out pick and roll situations with Connor Vanover. So they're going to change some things offensively, and obviously having the big fella in there next year is going to change the way they go about business.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Eric Musselman, I also What's up?
Is that all the headlines? Because I want to get one more in.
Go ahead.
Back to that.
No, I was done with mine. Whatever you want to get in.
Well,
fire away.
I just want to talk about the Sean Payton deal because that's close to home here. And Sean Payton testing positive for coronavirus. Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. You know where Sean Payton was last weekend? Oaklawn Park. And lots of people were taking pictures with him, including Kevin Kelly, the head coach at Pulaski Academy. Mm-hmm. And this has got a lot of people concerned at Oaklawn. This got a lot of people concerned in the horse community, in the horse racing community right now. Talked to one of the executives at Oaklawn last night. Texted him. He called me at home and said that there's no immediate plan to stop racing, but they have escalated their employee screening process. As you can imagine, Sean Payton was there. Everybody wanted a fist bump. Everybody wanted a picture. Everybody wanted something. A lot of people came in close personal contact with Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Now, the racing was closed last weekend, but, you know, Sean Payton was still there.
And it's like you're saying, with him being a celebrity and people knowing who he is, and I don't know how many Saints fans are in the Hot Springs region or the Arkansas region, but when you have a polarizing figure like he is, you typically want to take a picture. You typically want to say what's up and all that. And so the contact, not only the people that he may have come in contact with, but the people on top of that as well. But here's the thing.
I mean, here's what I was told last night. They're going to enhance their screening. I mean, right now you can't get in without temperature checks for if you're an employee that's allowed on the grounds. Oakland's going to ramp that up, and they're going to do other things. And they're meeting, trying to figure out where they're at. But horse racing in this state is all we have left in regards to sports, and it's very limited now. Joe Talamo, who was the jockey, he was around Sean Payton. And now Joe Talamo, you got to wonder, you know, does he get put in isolation? Is that where he's at? We're going to talk to Lang Whitman in hour three here on the show. And he covers horse racing. He's handicapped the races for this weekend for us. Could this... What ends up, and Joe Talamo came in contact with, and he was in the jockey room around all the other jockeys. What if all the jockeys end up in isolation, in quarantine?
I think the races probably wouldn't occur.
Right. I mean, you can't have them without jockeys.
Yeah.
And are other jockeys around the country, and the best jockeys in the country are here now. Some of them, as I was told last night, were contemplating or were scheduled to leave Oaklawn and go to the Louisiana Downs, to the Derby there, Louisiana Derby that's coming up. Now they're contemplating whether or not to even go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of conversation going on around Oaklawn right now, what to do because of Sean Payton's positive testing. Man, this is a tough situation. So that's something I didn't know where else we're going to fit that in the show. Quick hitting headlines seem like a good place.
Yeah.
We'll talk some more about it with Lang, but we only got a limited amount of time with Lang Whitman. But this is something worth following in how sports and COVID-19 are directly intersecting other than a cancellation, because we don't have a lot of intersections right now because sports are canceled.
And it seems like the majority of the COVID news that you keep hearing about is coming out of the NBA. We talked about Kevin Durant. We talked about Rudy Gobert. Talked about Donovan Mitchell. I know a Celtics player was just diagnosed with it. They didn't release the name, and I don't think I've seen Woj or Shams or anyone like that come out with the specific person.
It was Marcus Smart.
It was Smart? Okay. It just seems like of the NBA news of people that have been diagnosed, it seems like of all the sports, that's the one that you consistently hear about. Now, I don't know if that's because they're testing more players and they're testing everyone, and that's why you hear about it, and if that's not as rampant as you see in college football, the NFL, and everywhere else, but that's where you consistently hear the most news about when it comes to sports. So, again, we'll keep monitoring that and that moving forward. So I want to touch on this. There's one quote that I thought was really important. Eric Mossman actually talked for 56 minutes yesterday during the teleconference, and during Jenkins, was it yesterday or 2 days ago when he posted the video of the fake press conference?
That was yesterday.
Okay, so it was
Are your feelings? Are you guys' feelings hurt like mine are?
Well, you don't go to press conferences. You shouldn't have.
No, but he didn't mention one. Not just me. I don't worry about me. He didn't mention one radio person.
I mean,
not one.
I mean, I don't.
I was waiting I was waiting for Ty's name to pop up.
I only go to home games up there.
You think Wally goes to any press conferences? Wally ain't been to a press conference.
Yeah, but Wally's more notable than everyone in this room.
I don't know about that. Than you?
Yep. And then everyone in this room. I'm sticking to it, yeah. Right. So I haven't picked up the notoriety.
But everyone in this room's taller, including me.
How tall is Wally?
I don't know. Just messing. Okay. We ain't got anything else to do but mess around. Yeah. So let's mess around.
That video was fantastic, though.
Yeah, he does a good job. And it was, again.
So what's next?
That is a good question. So we touched on the
athletic. At some point, they're going to be from home because they're not going to allow him in the building anymore.
Yeah, we touched on the athletic article yesterday that Mrs. Danielle is kind of getting annoyed because Eric's just kind of popping and stuff and trying to get it, do a bunch of things, and she's just like, chill.
So if we could have one of those two people just call into the show right now, which one would you rather talk to, Eric or Danielle?
Ooh.
Who would be the better interview at this moment?
I think it'd probably be Mrs. Danielle.
I think so, too.
I do, too.
You got to remember, she's a former sports reporter and sports anchor, so she's very well versed in this industry.
Oh no, she's a great interview. I'm just who would give us more entertaining content? Because Mus would still want to talk about basketball and the pick and roll. She's going to tell us all the crazy things he's doing.
Yeah, and I think
that would be a better interview. Right,
with her, some of her best content that you've either heard on like Pick Trail Nation or the different websites or stuff that she's been interviewed on, is her kind of messing with Eric and making fun of him and stuff. And like, I always find that really funny when like the significant others of relationship like poke jabs at each other and stuff. And she's really fun to listen to. And she's got some great stories of their past and his past and stuff. And I think Mus is the one that told this story, and I'm forgetting the source or the outlet where he told it about how they first met. And I don't know if it was a panel, but they were at a conference or something, and the origin of that was fantastic. So they've got some great stories between the two of them, but I would lean towards Mrs. Danielle when it comes to a conversation right now, because like you said, I think Mus would be talking.
Yeah, you're more welcome on the show, Mrs. Musselman, than him. But yes. We'll take both of you right now.
Yeah.
Conference call, 877-377-6963.
Maybe.
Have the teleconference. Yeah, it's the popular thing right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I know that we were joking yesterday with Eric Musselman reading while he jogs and does his workout in the morning and how difficult that is to do.
I want to ask about that next time we talk to him.
Maybe he watches our video stream while he's running. I wouldn't bet on it, but who says, I never say never, I guess. So let's get on this clip real quick from Mus on Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe when it comes to their future at Arkansas.
You know, those conversations, just because all this stuff has happened so quick, I'd reached out to both of them and just said, hey, whatever you guys are thinking or whenever you want to talk, discuss those things, we're here for you. You know, communicated with both parents as well. You know, but I think right now everything is just on such a holding pattern across the board for everybody. I mean, you know, the process this year is going to be much different than it has in the past. You know, I've tried to gather as much information from NBA teams as I possibly can. A lot of people that are friends of mine, I'm checking in on them and then gathering information as well. And, you know, no one really knows how all that's going to look. So it'd be kind of premature to, you know, to talk about any process because it's no one really knows, including the NBA right now.
Again, he talked for 56 minutes yesterday, and that was one of the questions that was asked of him when it comes to the future of Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones. But he brings up a good point. Like the MLB draft, it's kind of uncertain what's going to happen with the NBA draft and how they're going to go about it, how teams are going to scout, how teams are going to go through workouts, because that's just in limbo right now. And so with that being said, I don't know if that helps or hurts Arkansas's chances of bringing back both Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones. Now, I had my buddy Eli Herskovich, who works for why am I blanking on? There's a gambling website that I'm completely blanking on the point, but he was like, I want to bet on Arkansas futures, and he was curious to know if I thought Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe was coming back. Now, I think I've heard, like, you hear all this stuff. Like, I always got different people trying to tell me, oh, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, because they want to be the quote-unquote source that I have that leads them to the direction of what is going to happen with those two guys' future. I genuinely don't know. here is my, in an ideal world, the ideal world, as an Arkansas fan, you'd love them both to come back. Does that happen? Probably not. I think the best move for both of their careers would be for Isaiah to go, and that pains me to say, because mm-hmm. I'd love to see him in an Arkansas uniform one more year, because we did not get to see his season in its entirety as it was shortened by this whole coronavirus. But Mason, as he's barely on any draft boards, and if he's on the draft board, he is late second round. I mean, how, and again, I've asked this question before, I'll ask it again. Do you want to be a great Razorback player, or do you want to be a legend? That's the question you have to ask yourself if you're Mason Jones, because if you come back next year and put on that uniform and put on that Razorback uniform and do what many people think you can do with the incoming talent that you have next year, plus the guys that were sitting out, this isn't going to be one of those situations that you faced last year.
No.
Where you didn't have guys around you and you were relying on yourself over and over and over again when Isaiah was injured. This is going to be a situation where you have talent surrounding you. You have guys that can fill it up, at least from their high school days, and hopefully Note and Connor DeVanover, they'll translate from being sitting out and just fill it up from the three-point line, that it's not going to be all on you. But you're still going to get the majority of the credit. And I don't know if this is the center of his attention, but Arkansas fans are still going to love you that much more if you came back. Plus, on top of that, and I'll go back to the point I just made, you reach, if you make a whatever postseason run, you reach that level of legendary status in Arkansas basketball. There's potential for him to get in the top 10. I don't think he's there now. I don't know, what is he, a top 15, 20 Razorback of all time? But if you come back and you do great things next year, not only in the regular season, potentially a postseason run, then you move yourself into that category. How important is that for Mason to reach that upper echelon of Razorback basketball players? That'd be important for me, but I'm not in his shoes.
Yeah. I just wonder with COVID-19, and we've already seen discussion of Major League Baseball's draft being canceled for this year. That hasn't happened, but there's discussion of that out there for a variety of reasons. Now, the NBA players' collective bargaining agreement may or may not count their years of service to the league and things in the way that Major League Baseball does. And their season is, you know, I don't know, what's their season? Two-thirds complete in the regular season, something like that?
NBA? Or
yeah, what? NBA, because generally they start playoffs in April sometime. So they got two-thirds, three-fourths of their season in. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of the NBA just saying, you know what, we're not going to bring 60 new players in the league. We're just going to roll with what we got in the G League players. And I could certainly see a scenario under these uncertain times where – could be like baseball. You don't have anywhere else
to go. If you're going to play that and you say, hey, we're not doing any contract work, wouldn't the same thing have to be applicable that baseball where the NCAA gives that winter sport an extra year? I mean, that's not fair to the seniors that were trying to go to the NBA and all of a sudden it was taken away from them like that. What are they going to do?
No. Right? I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying if baseball's considering it, could basketball consider it?
Good point.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Clay, good morning, man. How's your Friday going so far, buddy?
Good. I've had my scrambled eggs and my Raisin Bran and my Metamucil. I'm good.
I don't know if you got those in the right order, but you're off to a good start.
What's
someone of Clay's age may need to take the Metamucil first.
What is that?
What is Metamucil?
Yeah.
Clay, I'll let you answer that question.
I think it just makes all the plumbing work better.
It's fiber.
Okay, I thought
right?
That.
Isn't that right, Clay? I don't. Psyllium. Pardon me.
It's psyllium.
I don't take Metamucil.
I thought that was like the man version for you get old and like when you're. I didn't know if men had like a version of menopause, and that was like what they're supposed to take.
Clay's
when
been
get
having
older.
Menopause for 30 years.
So, okay, all right. So fiber doesn't help. You don't just do like, I guess the Raisin Bran and stuff. But yeah, okay. Let's get off the bowel.
Let's move on to something other than plumbing.
From the bowel movement section.
I didn't say anything about that. You're the one that asked.
Yeah, no, it was my fault. I apologize. So, Clay, you got a chance to talk with Nolan Richardson, former national champion. Should have won, too, if not for Ty Sedney going court-to-court and beating Missouri in that second-round game. But you had a conversation with him, and that you can read that on wholehogsports.com. And I found it interesting. You kind of opened up your article, Clay, with Eric Musselman's connection to Nolan Richardson. I think you should definitely start out with sharing that because it was kind of cool for me.
Yeah, Rob Spivey, who was on his staff at Tulsa the 5 years that he was there, and Rob and I were friends. And I was the basketball beat writer for Tulsa World, so I covered all those teams and got to know Rob. And he played for Eric Musselman's dad at Ashland. And he would later be a head coach at Ashland. He was head coach at Montevallo. This is Rob, was head coach at Montevallo, Ashland, Alabama State, and Southern. And he would play. Some of his teams would come in and play Nolan. Nolan liked to play his old assistants. But when Nolan got the job, Rob Spivey called him and said, "Hey, you know that's part of the tree. That's part of the family." And he said, "I was on the Ashland team playing for Bill Musselman, and Eric was just a little boy. He says he'd be up in the gym shooting around with us, rebounding for us. He's always around." And said, "That's just like family." And apparently those Ashland teams were, as far as you look back in the school history of that particular time, they were probably the best that they've ever been. So Nolan goes out to see Eric. And I guess, you know, the red-white game would – that they'd, you know, spend some time with that because Nolan coached one team, then Eddie Sutton coached the other. I think that's right. And, or at least they were there. And, but he went out to the practice and they started reminiscing. I'm talking about Nolan and Eric and they had a lot of those kind of ties. And the people that, Eric knew during his time at LSU were some of those guys that, you know, would come in and, you know, either AAU coaches, high school coaches that Nolan knew real well from recruiting Louisiana guys like Scotty Thurman and others. So it was very interesting to listen to Nolan. And then the other connection that I didn't even, you know, of course, you know, I asked about how, you know, Mike Anderson's teams were doing. I've been watching them. He watches every game. He went up there to speak for kind of a pre-practice banquet. It's a big fundraiser for St. John's University. I think they raised $600,000, and Nolan was the keynote speaker. But it was right after, you know, Mike got that job, he called one of his best friends from his UTEP days, and he helped recruit Nate Tiny Archibald to UTEP. And he lives right there in the heart of Queens, and this is, you know, really plugged into the AAU circuit in New York City and is able to really help Mike and his connection with Nolan. Tiny was really became close to Mike Anderson in this last year. And Nolan said it was really interesting to go there and see Mike and listen to him talk about recruiting, that he just takes, you know, he might just take a taxi and walk to a lot of the recruits that he goes to see. They might be a mile or 2 miles, and there's just players all around the school that grew up in Queens and Bronx. So, you know, the network and the ties that Nolan has are pretty incredible when you think about how long he was in the game and the impact he made and the connections of people that just love him are all around the country, really probably the globe.
Clay, I think the best quote from your article, though, and there are a lot of good pieces in there. If you haven't read it, go to wholehogsports.com or the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The best thing that was in there was from Nolan. Said, "I say I enjoy watching Eric's teams play because they just play so damn hard." when you hear that as an Arkansas fan, you think about Nolan's teams that played with a vigor, with
a ferociousness. That's a guy that knows what playing hard is. Yeah.
I mean, you got to love to hear that an Arkansas fan if Nolan's saying it about that, about Eric Musselman's team so far this season.
Yeah, it's not just Nolan that says that. And I, you know, talked to Pat Foster and James Dickey, who both coached at the Division I level, played in the NCAA tournament. The common theme in everything that you hear is that they play hard. And then when you listen to Eric Musselman, that's one of the things that he talks about. Is like, well, you know, we didn't win that game, but boy, did we play hard. Boy, did we leave it all out there. I think that's the essence of coaching, and whether it's football, soccer, basketball, or whatever, that's what I watch for, and I think that's what fans watch for. And when they watch a game and they see guys standing around, they don't see them diving for loose balls. You know, that's what frustrates fans. And when you see that and you think, well, we didn't win that one, but we couldn't have played any harder. Could have played better, but not harder. And one of the things in that story will be in the Democrat Gazette Saturday, at least one version of it. It's about 3,000 words. That's kind of what I'm at these days. I sit down and write, and all at once, that's what they are, instead of the desired 750 words, which is what I'm told to write. But it's, I guess that's just in my genes. I mean, I just have to write long. But in there, I asked how he got his teams to play hard, and there's some things there that will be enjoyable that kind of speak to the root of what he is.
Yeah, that's some good stuff, Clay. And again, we'll touch on that more coming up. Also want to get your insight on some of these first and second round games that we're going to talk about. We got a lot of audio here that we're going to play, and that's all coming up on the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
It is a Takeout Friday here on the Morning Rush, and it's really a takeout weekend. So if you at any point go to Sassy's this weekend, send us a picture at hit that line AR on Twitter or on Facebook, and we will get that up on social media and spread it so Alan knows that his business and everything and all his employees are appreciated. So we appreciate you, our listeners, supporting those who support us. So we talked, Clay, a little bit about this Nolan article, and I think we'll come back to that in a little bit, but Tommy mentioned this yesterday, and now I'm happy to you here because you're kind of the historian of the show. And when it comes to these first and second round matchups that Arkansas has participated in, there's a bunch of them. And there's ones that Arkansas closely lost. There's one they closely won. Is there one particularly, Clay, as we are on a Friday where the first and second or first round would be played, is there a first round matchup that particularly stands out to you, win or loss, that was tight?
Yeah, well, tight, you know, there's a bunch of them that were tight. Mm-hmm. And, the second round game that we're going to talk with U.S. Reed, I was there, and that we'll save that one. And that's the one everybody goes to because it's on the national radar. I mean, it's still, when you see video highlights of the tournament, that's squeezed in there somewhere every time I've seen it. And usually I can kind of point to where I was sitting because I was on the front row. I mean, it's media at the NCAA tournament still had front row seats at that particular time, especially the local teams. But it's I remember, I guess that was in Cincinnati. I looked at it in the media guide as Tommy instructed me to do last night, but the Arkansas Loyola Marymount, it wasn't tight, but it was such a fun game. 120 to, was it 120-90?
Indy.
I mean, I'm not looking at the score now.
120-101 in Indianapolis.
Yeah. 1989.
Yeah. And so, this is funny what you remember about a game. And I was covering for the Tulsa World. And this is a personal story. So Ken McLeod, who's covering for the Tulsa Tribune was there in the night before we went to St. Elmo's Fire. Look it up. You can Google it. It's the best restaurant in
Indianapolis.
And we got the shrimp cocktail, and the cocktail sauce. I did not know a lot about horseradish at that particular time. I'd never experimented with it. Didn't know. And they said, "Now this is hot," and I dipped that shrimp in that. And guys, I don't really remember what the rest of the meal tasted like. And I was told that I had the finest steak ever prepared. But there wasn't any way to know what it tasted like because the roof of my mouth lifted, and I mean, it was incredible.
Cleaned your sinuses out.
I don't mean incredible in a good way. So I would encourage anybody that goes there just to skip that the cocktail sauce. And I think that's why they call it St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah. Well, it's famous. And I mean, I've never been there, but everyone I talk to, that's the deal. Got to go to St. Elmo's Fire if you go to Indy, and you got to get the shrimp cocktail.
We were within blocks of that restaurant, so we went and got in, just two of us, two sports writers. And, I mean, the waiter, he's a bastard. I mean, he just sit there and laughed at us. And, I mean, he's like, why would you do that to people and ruin good food? I don't understand, but it's I guess the locals, they understand that you just get a drop of that cocktail sauce on the shrimp, and you can probably handle it.
Not a big deal.
So we were both mad afterwards. Yeah, we spent $100, for a meal and didn't enjoy it, all that kind of stuff. And we went to a sports bar, and both of us at that point in our life played a lot of pickup basketball at a community center. And we'd have free throw shooting contests, and we found this place that had the Papa Shot deal where you shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And we won, I think it was about $300, beating Indiana guys that, like a couple of guys from Oklahoma, they're going to take all our money. Yeah, and we wore their butts out. So that's what I remember about that trip. And then the fun nature of the Loyola game where, they're going up and down. I think Mario Credit scored a bunch of points that game and shot a lot of layups. And Loyola Marymount, they thought they had somebody that wanted to run. Well, they had a team that wanted to fly. And that's the worry of that game was that Arkansas was going to expend too much energy, and wear themselves out. That was the nightmare of it, but it didn't turn out that way.
Another game that stands out, and this comes from Bill in Fayetteville, Clay, is the, and you mentioned this on Monday, the 1990 first-round game against Princeton. I got some audio here. Here is some of the audio from the 1990 68-64 win against Princeton.
That's fine with Princeton. They'll let them hold it. They just want to keep it close.
Lob pass, Oliver Miller. They'll face off on Saturday. Winner of this one faces the Fighting Illini. Tip. 3-point on the way. No good. Oliver Miller will rebound. And it's going to be Nolan Richardson's Arkansas Razorback moving on to the second round of the NCAA tournament with a very tough 68-64 win over the Princeton Tigers.
I think you should always be apprehensive about playing an Ivy League school in the first round.
Well, I remember the build-up to that game because there was a lot of anticipation about how good Arkansas could perform in the tournament that year. And Princeton was a draw. A lot of people were worried about Clay because you knew they were going to slow it down, run that backdoor offense. It was going to be very unconventional. I remember watching that game with my dad and, us talking about how difficult this would not be an easy game because of the style they played. We just talked about a game they played the year before in the tournament. Arkansas scored 120. This is a game they scored 68 points in to win an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, so this, to put it in perspective, that season Arkansas went 30-5, first place in the Southwest Conference. They would go to the Final Four, ranked number 4 by ESPN, number 7 by AP. So they were a big target. The next last game of the regular season, they put 114 on Texas A&M, then 104 in the last regular season game against Rice. second game of the NCAA, of the Southwest Conference tournament at Dallas, they scored 115 on Baylor. Then they scored 96 on Houston. So that's over 100 in one, two, three of their last five games, and 96 and 94 in the other. So it was racehorse basketball. And to play Princeton, where they knew that they're going to slow it down and run backdoor cuts. They're going to slow it down and run backdoor cuts. They're going to make you chase. So there was some apprehension about the clashes of style. But it didn't turn out in a bad way. So, but 68-64, that's a lot different than 115-75, which is what they've been doing for the previous month.
Got a text here out of the 479 saying, I was at the Princeton game and Dayton the next round. They finished, let's see, they beat Dayton. They only beat Dayton by two the next round. So they had some close calls early on in both the first and second round of that 1990 season, Clay.
Yeah, and it's typical what happens in the NCAA tournament. And I think that the officiating changes and all at once things, and people get a little tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, in playing different styles is, and let's be honest, if you're in the NCAA tournament, you've got a good team. You just have to remember that. Every team that's there is, there's a reason why they're there. They've won a lot of games, and they're probably hot at the right time.
That's a good point. Let's see, another game that stands out on this, again, we're talking best first and second round Arkansas games, and we got U.S. Reed coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. It's the loss to Memphis State in 92. Now, this is really the only loss that I have audio from and good, but Arkansas got a little revenge later that year. Well, not the same season, but in 92 when Penny Hardaway and company came in to Barnhill Arena and they ended up beating them. Here's some audio, though, from the Memphis State loss when they lost in 1992.
Here is Mayberry for three. Try to win the game, and the rebound is over. Memphis State wins the game.
So that game was in Milwaukee, of all places, a tough 82-80 loss. And you heard the audio from Dick Stockton where Lee Mayberry had a chance to win that game. And a three-pointer then, he missed it. And the Memphis State Tigers moved on. But what a thrilling game that was back in the day.
I remember. Yeah, that was a second-round game.
Yes, correct.
I remember my heart sinking when that happened. You know, and I think it was the next year they got beat by Kansas as well in the tournament. I
mean, North Carolina.
You know, just your heart's, sinking because, Clay, you didn't expect to lose games then. I mean, you had some of the best teams. You were winning the Southwest Conference. Nolan had to go in, and then, so you always expected to go in. And then when it didn't at the end on a game like that, it just, you sank,
Yeah, you have to kind of put it in perspective and say, well, you don't expect to lose, but that team was 26-8. They lost eight times. So it's not like that, and they had beat. They've been beaten by Alabama in the SEC tournament. Beat Georgia in the first round, and now that's the first SEC season. You recall that? That's the first time Arkansas had gone through, and they won the SEC overall, but they did not win the tournament, and then they lost. They lost in the second round of the SEC tournament, and then lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Paul is in Fort Smith. Paul, you're on the Morning Rush.
I would like to talk about, you was talking about the local restaurants in Sassy's, and I'd like to point out the fact that we're kind of in uncharted territories here, and a lot of the over-the-road truck drivers were having problems with the restaurants closing and stuff like that. We have to eat away from home.
This country, you talk about shutting the country down, you shut the truck drivers down, and this thing's over in about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to have you guys out there.
Yeah, our friend.
I guess you're a truck driver, Paul?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And, a couple of days ago we run into, the truck stops closing the restaurants, but they'd let the cars go through the drive-thru.
Yeah, what are you going to do, walk? I guess you can walk through the drive-thru,
If that's what we have to do,
But you can't take your truck through there. So,
but they weren't allowing us to do walk-ups through the drive-thru window, And
how are you guys supposed to eat?
We all got Yeah, we all got to work together, because, like I said, we're in uncharted territories with this big mess that's going on right now. The restaurant workers need to work, and the truck drivers need to stay on the road.
Y'all got to bring more food. You got to bring more food, more toilet paper. You know.
Yeah. So if you got it, a truck brought it.
That's exactly right.
Amen. So
we're just going to have to, like, maybe put the word out to some of these restaurants. You know, let us walk up and order our food, and then we'll leave. You know, let us park there for a second and feed us, and off we go, you know.
No, that's something that probably 95% of us didn't even think about. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Paul. That's a good point.
Yeah, thanks for, Paul, appreciate the call, and thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you for listening.
And I guess, I know some parking lots, I don't know, they can fit 18-wheelers and stuff, but again, a lot of our sponsors here on the Morning Rush and a lot of local businesses in Harrison Mountain Home, Hot Springs, Northwest Arkansas, here in the River Valley, they would be more than happy for you to call them and order a carryout order. They'd come out curbside. Now, I know you probably couldn't park just like straight up, but I'm assuming there'd be a place around the restaurant.
I know many of ours, they'd work something out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure that the owners or the managers or whoever you speak to, Paul, and everyone else who's a truck driver, everyone else who's just listening to the program right now, they could help out with that. Let's go back to the phone lines. JR's in Marshall. JR, you want to talk some football here on the Morning Rush?
Yeah, guys. Okay, Clay, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you remember back in 1982 when we went down and played SMU, and that pass interference was called on us, and our defensive back was in front of the SMU wide receiver, lunging, trying to catch the pass, and the SMU wide receiver grabs our defensive back by the ankle, and they call pass interference on us. And Lou Holtz, I think that was the maddest I've ever seen him.
Yep.
And they ended up coming down and scoring a touchdown and ended up tying the game, and they got the tiebreaker. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they kicked the extra point to tie the game. Did not go for two, which took them out of the national championship picture. You know, they weren't going
right.
to. They.
But am I correct on that? How that?
Yeah, I can give you the details. So Nathan Jones was the defensive back for the Razorbacks, and the wide receiver basically ran up. He's directly in front of him. The SMU player ran up his back. Nathan scored, slowed down a little bit, but the SMU player is the one that made the contact. And I've never seen that call repeated. It's always been the other way around. I mean, I'm talking about for 45 years. That's a once in a lifetime. The referee was Horton Nestra, N-S-T-R-A.
Oh, yeah.
At least you haven't held
do you want
right.
me to go? Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah. I mean, that obviously that changed. They had the Pony Express that year, correct?
They had a great team. Yeah, I thought it was Reggie DuPont, but that might be. I'm not sure they had the Pony Express at that particular time. But it was a great team, and Razorbacks outplayed them until that play. And, you know, it was would have been a punting situation. I mean, we'll see if they would have punted. They didn't go for it and kick the extra point. But it's you never know what's going to happen, but that was probably the defining play of that season, without question. I'm talking about in college football, because it took a great SMU team out of the national championship race, and you know, should have been an Arkansas victory.
Then,
you're right.
Then the other one was the Malcolm Shepard deal at Florida, the personal foul that was called on him, you know, during that game. So, okay. Just wanted guys to get your blood boiling this morning with a little football.
Hey, JR, appreciate it. And I got my blood boiling yesterday when I replayed the Joel Berry running into Adriel Bailey during the 2018 North Carolina game. That nothing ticks me off more than watching that.
Yeah. Hey, if you need to go to the doctor right now, but who wants to go to a hospital or a clinic right now with everything going on? There is a great option with the Baxter Regional Care app. You can download it to your phone, tablet, or computer for just $69. A medical professional is available 24 hours a day to assess, diagnose, and treat your condition, as well as prescribe medication if needed. You know, with coronavirus and everything going on right now, we're a little probably nervous, but if you just got something else going on, bad allergy problems, you got some other medical condition, you know, not everyone that gets sick right now has coronavirus. There are other things going on. Well, that's where the Baxter Regional Care app is perfect for you. Every visit, just $69. It's free of charge to download the app, the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, or visit BaxterRegionalCare.com. The Baxter Regional Care app, your 24-hour on-demand doctor.
So we got a couple texts in here about the call we got for truck drivers. This is from Brad from Mountain Home. He says, if you see a truck driver trying to get food at a drive-thru, offer to get his food as you drive through and give it to him. I know that there's been times where we've gotten to a spot and we don't have a car or something. I remember Boris like a kid, and I would actually give older patrons who were of driving age money to pay for myself. Let's see. Chad from Paris kind of mentioned the same thing. Jennifer in Izzard County says for truckers in Melbourne, they can walk up to Bailey's Country Cooking and they will do curbside to go for you. So I guess Chad and the caller we just had, if you go through Melbourne, where's Melbourne in Arkansas, Tommy?
Melbourne's not far from me. Okay. It's between Mountain Home and Batesville.
Yeah. So if you're in that area, guys, I guess head over to Bailey's. So, and again, this is a takeout Friday, so any local business that you're eating at this weekend, today or earlier this weekend, you have a picture, make sure to post that on social media, tag us in it, and we will get that out because we want to do as much supporting of these local businesses as we can on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com.
And I'm really glad Paul called, because that's something, had you thought about truck drivers and how they're going to be able to get to? I just know this, we got to have truck drivers right now.
Correct.
We got to have service people. And if the truckers quit rolling right now, we're in worse shape than we are now. I know that.
Yeah.
A lot worse shape.
No, absolutely.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
So many of you have heard that call over the years from the 1981 March Madness matchup between Arkansas and Louisville. U.S. Reed, who joins us now on the phone lines. U.S., good morning. I really appreciate Ben Creighton down there in Little Rock getting me within contact with you. And thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us this morning on the Morning Rush.
Man, thanks for inviting you, man. It's crazy enough to say it really is March Madness.
You're right about that.
Exactly right. So, obviously, I want you to go into kind of what was going through your mind with the shot. But last February, when Scott Atkinson brought back that ball at the Bud Walton Arena and Hunter Yurcheck gave it to you, and just getting that back 38 years later, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was an exciting time. It brought back a lot of great memories. You know, it was kind of crazy because all these years, you're thinking, hey, you've been bragging on the ball on the shelf, and it wasn't really the ball. So when I found out that Scott had that ball, and I remember Scott being one of the cheerleaders during that time, and I didn't realize until I saw the actual replay of the tape that he grabbed that ball. So I'm just glad he brought it back, and it was a lot of fun and memories for me and my family and for the fans.
Who told you that the one you had was the ball? Did someone else give it to you? Like, I was curious to the backstory of that.
Well, somebody, I don't remember exactly who, brought a ball in the dressing room and said, man, hey, here's the ball. And I guess they thought, you know, they probably were sincere about giving me the ball and thought that was the ball that went through the hoop. And, you know, through all that pandemonium, you don't stop to say, are you sure? You know, you sure this is you just obviously think that this is the ball, and you take it home and you put it on the shelf, and you know, we had the nets cut down, and you cut the nets down, and I had the nets, you know, kind of like drooped over the ball on my shelf.
Talk about how sweet it was to do that in Austin, Texas. You know, because a lot of people look at that. If you don't know, you might think you're playing Texas, but it was Louisville. It was the NCAA tournament. It was a day and time when the NCAA didn't bring special floors in. To have that in a place that was such a place of rivalry for Arkansas, what was the emotion in the afterwash to do it in a place that you love to go win?
Well, for people that don't know, Arkansas and Texas has been a rivalry for since I was a child. And you know, we were really, and that's one of the reasons Arkansas and Frank Broyles, I think, just a small reason why we elected to lead the Southwest Conference during that time, because every time we would play throughout the conference, you know, we were the only one outside the conference. We were hated. And you know, like in the SEC, when one team is playing in the SEC, representing the SEC, you know, we all cheer for the SEC. But it wasn't like that in the Southwest Conference. We were playing in that tournament, and it was played down in Austin. Every game we played during that tournament, the Texas fans would cheer against us when we were representing the conference. And so when we were playing Louisville, and at that time, Louisville was ranked number one in the country. And, man, every time we'd score or do something, the Texas fans would really, you know, cheer against us. They would boo us. And so we really felt like, even though we were playing in one of our conference rivalries, gymnasium, we felt we were playing an away game. We should have had the crowd behind us, like a home court advantage. But really, we were like playing against the crowd and almost like the referees. And it was really a tough game for us. But it gave us something to play for. But it was really sweet winning down there. And one of the things that happened when we won that game, of course, we all know about Eddie Sutton coaching during that time, and Texas coach was Abe Lemon. Which was he was kind of like a big man in the conference, smoking a big cigar and always bragging, and the fans, Arkansas fans, they really enjoyed getting on him. And after we won that game, Abe Lemons actually came into the dressing room with a hog hat on. It was crazy.
U.S. is Clay Henry.
Hey, Clay.
What a great memory. And I'm there. All the pictures that show you kind of dancing and celebrating afterwards, in the background you can see Media Row, and I always like to pick out my picture. It's the only time I'm ever in the media guide. But what was really incredible is you made the shot, and there was a throng around you, but you broke out of the throng pretty quickly, and they just danced, the cheerleaders and, you know, everybody. But you got away from them. Do you remember what you did?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been in those situations before at Arkansas when we won games, and people have piled on me. And I said, if I'm ever in that situation again, I said, I'm not going to be at the bottom of the pile. So when the shot went in, I immediately, and you know, I ran the press row, and I was so happy. I started shaking everybody's hands.
You
and,
shook my hand. Yeah.
Your hand, Wally Hall's hand. Everybody
you shot
press
my dad's hand, Orville Henry's hand. You just went right down the row.
Yeah. And then I thought about it. Then it hit my mind. You better get out of here. So I just ran around the court, celebrated, and I watched them in the middle of the court. And everybody thought I was at the bottom of the pile, but which I wasn't. And I just ran in the dressing room.
Yeah. You bring up Coach Sutton, and we've had Joe Klein join us before on the show. Talk about playing for Coach Sutton and what those practices could be like.
Oh, wow. Playing for Coach Sutton, it was like walking into a big corporation, and you have all these guys in business suits, and you're playing for a big CEO. I mean, we would come down and practice, and he had each assistant coach over a certain station. You know, he had the guards over here, the forwards over there, the center, the fours and the fives over here, and everybody would be going over individual assignments and skill sets and how to pass, how to post up, how to rebound, and practice would be going on, and he wouldn't even be there really. He'd come down late, and he'd walk around, and he'd observe each station, And, you know, you know, as a freshman, you'd be kind of nervous and go, wow, this guy, you know, he let those assistant coaches do their jobs. And he had the best assistants in the country. That's why most of those assistants turned out to be head coaches, because they were really good at skill training and getting everybody ready to play the game.
We're talking with U.S. Reed here on the Morning Rush. U.S., at the moment before when you guys were down, Coach Sutton said, we're still going to win this game. When he said, you're getting the ball, U.S., and I remember you saying in an interview last year, it's like, Darryl Walker, I don't know if I have confidence in this, and you're trying to get the ball, and then the shot ends up going in. What's going through your mind when Coach Sutton says, you're getting the final shot?
Well, what's going through your mind? You know, it's like, oh, boy, either people are going to love me or they're going to hate me if I mess up, because I have to get the ball all the way down court. I mean, we got the ball on the other end of the court, so he's like, okay, Darryl, you know, give him the ball, and you get as close as you can to the basket, and if you don't have a shot, you get it to either Scott Hastings down low or somebody, and it's not but a few seconds left in the game. I'm like, what? You know, so, but he always instilled in the team that no matter what the situation was, that we're going to win this game, and you really believe that, so. The funny thing is, when Darryl took that ball out, he was kind of like flipped it to me, like, oh, you know, I don't know about this. Like you said, you know, so, but, and the thing about it, when I turned around, Denny Crum, who was the coach of Louisville, had a full court press on. I'm like, oh, boy. So I'm turning around to a full court press. I'm going to get the ball down court. But the funny thing about that, and I've told this story before, I was practicing long shots in pregame, just in case I had to shoot a long shot. But, you know, of course it wasn't that far out. But I knew I had to at least push the ball and kind of do a push and, you know, a regular shot, kind of mix it in together. And so it really, they called it a prayer shot. Really, it really was a blessing from God to help me to hit that shot that far out before you get to half court.
You asked you mentioned the press. They had two 6'8 guys in midcourt, and they just kind of put their hands up and just turned and kind of gave you a little window, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they really didn't believe I could really get the ball all the way down court in those few seconds, which they were really kind of right. That's why I had to shoot it from half court, but they really should have had more pressure on the ball and a trap or something to not even let me get that ball off. Because as you know, in March Madness, anything can happen.
U.S. Reed with us here on the Morning Rush, one of the most memorable shots in college basketball history and certainly in Razorback history, as in 1981 in the second round of the tournament, hit the shot against Louisville down in Austin, Texas. U.S., as you watch games today versus the style and the more physical brand of basketball in your day, what's your opinion on the state of the game today? It's less physical. The rules have changed where teams have to back off defensively more. What's your opinion on the state of the game and the style of play in today's basketball at the college level?
Well, the style of basketball today is really how we played on the sandlot before we got into college, into high schools that had a system really in place of using more of your fundamentals and far as passing and posting up and that kind of thing. But it's really how we played on the street. I mean, it's so, you know, it just bled over into the sport for a more entertainment value for the fans. But I think even though doing that, I think one of the things, and I like what Kobe Bryant talked about, I heard him talking about some years back about how the game has lost its fundamentals because of the AAU basketball. I think AAU basketball has really done an injustice to some of the key as far as their skill set. You could see it on the court how it's like their IQs have dropped. And he was right in that. And the European players sound like they concentrate more on shooting instead of dunking and all this and more of a better skill set. So I think it's got its pros and its cons.
U.S., I've got to ask you and take you back 2 years prior, because you guys should have gone to the Final Four in 79. And y'all played Larry Bird and Indiana State and Cincinnati and had fought back. Sidney covered Larry Bird, and y'all came back and tied the game and had the ball for the last shot. And you tell us what happened, U.S.
Well, to be honest with you, we should have gone to the Final Four. You're right. 2 years in a row, and really, I think we should have won the national championship my freshman year. I think there was. I think Coach Sutton, even though he did a great job, I think he was some miscalculations, and it's really important that you recognize the talents you have on that bench. And I think he had some players that he should have played during those games at certain times that it would have made it a lot easier for us. But for instance, you're referring to the we played against Indiana State when they had Larry Bird. We started out with Alan Zahn, who's 6'7", athletic forward, on Larry Bird, and he couldn't do anything with Larry Bird. Matter of fact, Larry Bird was so hot, he came over to our bench and said, "You better put somebody else on me. I'm gonna get 50 points on you."
And he would.
Larry Bird could really talk trash, you know. But he could back it up. And Coach Sutton was like, "Okay, I'm gonna put Sidney on you in the second half," and Sidney just shut him down.
I think if
he had Sidney on him that whole game, I don't really think it would have been close. Because, you know, at the end of the game, when you have a team like that with just one or two, they had one great player and a couple of good players, and you could really get in trouble, like, at a last-second shot, like they did, and go on to play Magic Johnson in Michigan State, which they hate in Michigan, which they hate they did that because they really got embarrassed. we would have been a better matchup.
I think that's right. Yeah, but the play that I was thinking about was you with the ball. They tripped you. They fouled and tripped you.
I had the ball, and I was dribbling across court, and Carl Nix, I saw Carl Nix right after that, at one of the camps. And I said, "Man, you tripped me." He said, "Yeah, I did." So
they call that a foul now. Yeah.
Yeah, he stuck his foot out, and I mean, literally tripped me. But the crazy part about it, you know, when he tripped me, the ball left my hand and started going across court, and I just went over and picked it up and didn't move, and they called traveling. So it was like two bad calls.
No question.
and we were shocked. I mean, we were really in shock. We're like, really? So it's just one of those things that happens in sports.
Yeah, and on top of that, U.S., the next foul that was called on you that fouled out of the game, you hit the ball, and then they called a foul on you as well. Trust me, as a young guy, you would think that I wouldn't be so passionate about you guys virtually getting screwed out of that game, but trust me, I am. You mentioned Larry Bird. Of the guys you competed against in college, where does he rank on that list?
Oh, he's got to be, you know, one of the top two. We played against some great players back in those days. But he's got to be one top two. I remember holding, back in the day, Cypress Conference had some great players back then. People don't remember. I remember as a freshman, we played against Baylor, and they had a guy so good on that team that Coach Sutton didn't even want Brewer or Moncrief or anybody to even hold it because they would get tired. And he would get 50 points on you easy. His name was Vinny Johnson.
Yep.
The microwave.
And they call him the microwave. And I'm telling you, you talk about a guy that his arms would drag the floor. He could dribble the ball any kind of way he wanted and go anywhere he wants and shoot from anywhere. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he was a top player, but Larry Bird was one of the top, and so we had people like Vinny Johnson. We had people like over at Houston had some great players. I mean, you talk about being on the floor with one of the top 50 players in basketball. Period. It was Clyde Drexler. And then they had a guy at guard the year before named Rob Williams. I go on and on. I mean, it's been some great players that we played against through the years.
Yeah. Fi Slamma Jamma, and then you think about like Vinnie Johnson, and it wasn't often U.S. in the NBA when Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas wouldn't get hot, but when they brought him off the bench, he gave them points in a flurry. U.S., as we close down this interview, I know that you and Ben, you guys do the UALR games for ESPN Plus down in Little Rock. What else are you doing right now, man?
Well, I did that last year with Ben. We had a great with Little Rock, and we had a great time. I didn't do it this year, and kudos to Darrell Walker and his team for doing a great job this year. And I am currently with the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. I'm in the development and advancement. This is another term for corporate fundraising. And so I'm enjoying doing that, still involved in helping kids and at the college level, and hope I can continue to do that for a few more years.
U.S., we really appreciate you joining this morning. This is one of the best interviews we've had in quite some time, and I'm really glad that Clay brought up the Indiana State story, and I'm glad that you were truthful about your feelings concerning that game.
Well, hey, I'm glad you guys called me, and to tell everybody this what's going on right now, this too shall pass. Take care of your family, trust in God, and as always, we'll pick.
All right, let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.